Blog Talk Radio.
Yo! Hi, and welcome to another show of Local Voter Education Program. We are trying out some new things here in the studio on speakers and headsets, and we're not sure if anybody can hear us correctly or not. We do have Mondick Teller in the studio with us. That's running for, what are you running for? House District 95. And we'll make sure his headset's working here in a second. Let me hold up 1 minute. Go ahead. I don't hear you, Adrian. And we got a guest to call in. Maybe she can call in and tell us if she can hear us or not. Tell her, call out your name just a minute, just for a sound check for Carrie. And then if she calls in, she can.
Sound check.
Adrian, let's say a sound check. Just in case they could hear. I don't know. Maybe not, but I'm not hearing you, am I? Okay, we were hearing you earlier. So, okay. Hey, anybody out there? Oh, there we does that help for you? That doesn't help for you. Okay.
Hi.
Well, that's funny because you were hearing me, weren't you?
I'm hearing you.
Yeah, I'm still hearing you, but.
Oh, you're hearing me, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We can hear you.
You can hear me, but you can't hear you. Okay. So what
can
we
you
need?
Can you hear us, Bob?
No, I do not hear you, but. Let's see. That's an extension. You should be able to talk right over the same line as I'm going over because it's like an extension. This one. Okay. You want to try going to the splitter here with me? Okay. Let him plug in. Where's the I don't have a splitter in. I went straight in. That's right. I got a splitter right here. Here we go. Let's split mine and see what happens, okay? And let mine.
That's him. That's him right there. That's Taylor. We just switch out.
Oh, there it is. All right.
Taylor, can you hear?
I can.
Okay, very good. And I can hear, too.
You can? All right, very good.
But you can't, can you, Adrian?
I can hear you.
You can? No, I don't hear
you,
though. Okay, but at least we know that maybe we can do two in a studio.
No, fine. I can just record.
Sure. You can record, but for future references doing all this. If anybody's tuning in, we do have someone on the line here that called in. I appreciate it. We can use any help to see if we're all being heard or not. We're trying a new technique here in February. We hope to go into the studio out in public with our show for the local election. So let me open this one up and... Who is 456? I have you on the line. 456. That's 17456. Can you hear me? Okay, I can hear him way back there. Let me see here. Someone's calling in on the line here, but I cannot. Okay. Well, let's do this because I can't hear him way back there, but let's pull this out. Okay, can I hear anybody? Hello?
Bob?
Hello.
Hello?
Hi. Who have I got here?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you somewhat. We're trying out a new system here, and for some reason or another, we're trying to get these bugs out and do the show at the same time, you know? And I appreciate I need to call in. I can hear you, but it's real low for some reason or another, and that's what we're going to have to work on in the next few months before we do this out loud to try to boost this sound up some. But that's the whole idea of the show tonight, try this.
Can you hear me better now?
Go ahead. Did you have
we're just asking.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Did you have any kind of question?
No, I didn't. Taylor asked me to, and Carrie asked me to call in about your show tonight.
Oh, okay. Great. So you can help us work on these bugs, these problems we got with our technical thing here. I appreciate it. Yeah, 'cause I put a call into Carrie to see if she'd call in for a minute just to see if anybody could hear us out there. And if you don't got a minute, I'm gonna change some wires here and see what happens just a little bit. And so hang on to me here, and let's take this one. What I'm going to do is I'm going to...
Real life.
Okay. Can you hear me now, caller?
I can.
You're still there. And you can probably
hear
me
hear
better
you.
Now, huh? You can hear me good. Okay. So the problem on my end, I found out, I've got a splitter in the back of the modem, and when I put that splitter in the back of the modem, it's cutting down the power is what it's doing to the other phones. And that's what I was kind of afraid of when we set this thing out live. I'll tell you what we can do. You got a cell phone?
I do.
And you got a cell phone?
Yes. Yeah.
Why don't you call this number right here, and you'll be on there with us, okay? We can always do that. They can call in our guests. Can you hear?
He's going live.
Okay, he's going to go live. I'm sorry. Okay, so I was just talking to my guests in the studio here, and they're going to call in. That way they'll be on here live. And this headset stuff, we'll just have to we'll work the bugs out. This is the caller here we got. So if you call this number right up there, Taylor, and you should come into the queue. And when you say you're doing this live, Adrian, Facebook Live?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, we should have Taylor here on the minute. And is there any topic that – are you just helping us out by calling in and helping us work out the bugs? Is that correct?
Well, yes, but I saw that you were going to be talking about Fort Worth ISD busing the kids over to Miller. And
great
so
going.
I
great
was
going,
at
yes.
Miller on Thursday,
uh-huh.
and I battle Fort Worth ISD quite a lot. So I was calling to share some insight on some different things that were going on.
Okay, very good. Can you hear her, Taylor?
I can.
You can hear. Okay,
yes.
Very good. I can hear you too. Okay, very good. Okay, very good. She's the ISD thing. Yeah, you know, that is a topic we wanted to talk about somewhat tonight, and I do want to talk about that tonight. I want to we're going to give Terrell a little time to introduce himself. He's running for office in 95, but we're going to go over that. And I'm kind of like the idea of us and kids over there, but I don't like the way this is being worked.
Right.
I don't think it's been done quite right, but I want, you know,
yeah.
Your opinion about
it
that?
Wasn't
I think
done
that
correctly.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It could have been a great experience for the kids, but unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
Fort Worth ISD did not handle it properly,
mm-hmm.
and so it wasn't a great experience for the kids. Over 75% of the kids did not get to vote because they were 17, not registered, or didn't bring an ID.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was,
and that's
you know they were sent away, and that's not a great
experience.
So it's
kind of like a wasted trip on that.
Yeah, it was, and they didn't let the voting centers know that the kids were
mm-hmm.
coming, and
mm-hmm.
They did it for optics. They did it for a photo to say, you know, look what we're doing, and then they also did it to push some candidates, and that's just my opinion of what they've done. There's three trustees that have endorsed one of the candidates, and they gave her
mm-hmm.
the heads up to be there to greet the kids. And there's videos of them going live where teachers are hugging candidates and taking selfies with them in front of the kids. And that's like an endorsement.
Mm.
So I don't like it. I'm tired of Fort Worth ISD pushing politics. Take the kids to vote. Let them vote however they want to, but quit trying to sway the vote. That's not what the school is tasked with doing.
And that's what they were doing. And you know, I think, I've said this for a long time, I think what we need is some voter education in before they go so they learn some guidelines about how to vote for a candidate. If a candidate's not doing answering questions, won't come out and do a public forum or answer questions, that ought to be a clear sign that it's not a candidate, no matter what party they run for, your candidates. And we've got so many candidates that don't come out and do forums, don't answer questions, but yet they still get put back in office. And that's something
right.
that's just kind of a guideline. But I thought in elementary would be a good place to start teaching kids one thing to put a seed in their head when they get out of school. Learn who your council member is, learn what district you live in, and learn your mayor. And those three seeds there at an early age, just plant those. It would help kind of blossom when they get out, maybe. Something. They're not getting anything right now. So I thought
right.
and then when you get to 9th or 10th grade, I would think they'd be great to have a voter education class. And then when they got to 12th grade, we could take the buses over and let them vote. But give them some education. It's just like take them through school and then take them to a spelling bee, but you took out the spelling out of school. You know what I mean? go through the school with just math, history, and that, and no spelling, but then take them to a spelling bee at the end, you know? There's no education along the way on how to vote, nothing about any guidelines, anything to how to choose a candidate, learn about it, because, you know, candidates just give you a lot of hot air.
You would never want Fort Worth ISD teaching that to your children. If you are if you're a conservative, or you can want to pick libertarians and conservatives and liberals, and you are going to vote for a candidate, Fort Worth ISD is not going to teach you that. If they were teaching voter education, I would probably have a big problem with it for my kiddos, just based on how much they lean. My son was a senior last year in Fort Worth ISD, and his government teacher told all the kids, follow me on Twitter. And number one, he's not allowed to do that. Number two, his Twitter is just full of a whole bunch of Marxist propaganda. He said, you know, his favorite influence as a teacher was Dewey. And he's got, I always say his name wrong, Kendi X Abraham, or however he says it, has all of his stuff on there. That's influencing kids, and that's not your job as a teacher. So I would love for parents and families and communities to talk about how local politics is what actually changes your life, not what happens in D.C. and Austin. Get involved in your local politics. But as for having a teacher teach kids that, there's so much bias right now. I would not be okay with that because of how things start leaning, and then listening to the teacher that got off of the bus at Miller and how she was speaking about how she spoke to the kids about Abbott, she was swaying them. And she should not have done that. It was illegal, and it wasn't her job to do that. So I would like for families to become more involved with teaching their children about politics, about voter education, and how to get involved. And that's what I do for my kiddos.
You know, that is definitely on the same track, and I'm just wondering what district you're in. Do you want to run for office? But the main thing is that, yes, we do need to.
Elizabeth Beck is my city council person.
Who? Elizabeth Beck?
Your favorite, Elizabeth Beck. She is now my, she will be my person in January. And
okay.
It was
all
Jared
right.
Williams. I had Jungus, then Jared, and then come January, I'll have Elizabeth Beck. And then I did have Ann Darr on school board, and now I got redistricted over to Annelle Levinos.
Okay. Yeah. But, yeah, I keep losing a train of thought here, but, yeah, you're right. But that's the whole thing. Oh, that's what I was going to say here was that the what's going on a lot is that we, like in my District 5, I have over 100,000 people, or at 100,000 people in my district, and about 93,000 to 94,000 don't even vote in a local election. So that's why we're having a problem. We need to tilt this scale and get more people to understand. Forget about Washington. Forget about all that. Look at home. And what happens, too, is if the parents don't vote local, the kids don't vote because they're not exposed to it. I wasn't exposed to it. My parents didn't vote, you know, locally as I was a kid. A lot of people don't. They take
well,
it as this. But it is the most important thing, though. It's the most effectable on you is your local government.
Yeah. But don't you think that we have, like, politicians, local politicians, that are kind of discouraging people to vote? There's a trustee that has posted things like, you don't have to come to a board meeting, you don't have to do anything, like, I'm just going to take care of you. And you get and manipulating voters to believe that this person's just going to take care of everything, listen to what they say, and vote how they say, and you're going to be fine. Our bond elections, we don't even get 10% of the city to come out and vote for those. You know, the last bond election was $2 billion. We didn't even get 10%. To come out and vote for that. That's ridiculous. Our primaries, we're not getting people to come out. And they want to complain right now with our governor races that we've got Beto and Abbott to choose from, and you got to pick the lesser of two evils. Well, we lost our opportunity to actually have a great candidate during the primary. And people didn't want to get out and vote. And I'm guilty of that. I'm recently getting involved. I voted in two primaries. And now I realize mm-hmm. how important it is. Like you said, your family mm-hmm. didn't grow up teaching you about voting.
You don't see it either. So you're,
mm-hmm.
you're not
yeah,
supposed
you don't
to
see it.
It.
I didn't. You don't talk about politics, religion, or money. And those three things right now are a hot mess express. They should be discussed. It was like it was
yeah.
a lie our whole mm-hmm. life of don't talk about those things. Those things need to be talked about. And so there's a little bit of thankfulness for 2020 because I didn't speak about politics with my kids. And mm-hmm. now I do. And now we have a great conversation, and it's super awesome. My kids are on social media. I have one in college, and they send me things that they see, you know, on social media, like, hey, Mom, look at this meme. Isn't it funny? And they've learned, and they're paying attention, mm-hmm. And I like it. I love it. My youngest is 9, and he can carry on a really great conversation with you if you want to talk about local politics, because he knows all these people's names because he hears me complain about them. And it's a lot of fun to get involved. And a lot of people that think, like, man, it's so hard to get involved, and I know that you can probably agree with me here, it's so not hard. There's literally about 5 people that are running around being involved in these circles, and it doesn't take but 6 months to learn everybody. And it's a lot of fun to be involved. It's dangerous.
It
is. It can make you cry sometimes.
It's got so many mixed emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a barrel of mixed emotions. It is. I agree. And what I want to do, though, is I know Taylor dropped by on us here. We were trying to get a hold of him earlier, but he was able to come by tonight. We want to give him some time to introduce his candidacy and what his plans are and what he's doing there. We'd like to give him some time. We have a 2-hour show tonight. I'd like to come back to this more and go over this some more, but I think Taylor might be on a kind of a time slot. I don't know. So I told him, I promised him I'd give him all the time he wanted. And so if you
want
to hang on, what's your first name? What is your first name?
My name is Holly. I'm friends with Taylor.
Okay. Okay. If you'd like to hang on a little bit, Holly.
I would love to give Taylor all the time.
Let's give him some time. And Taylor, are you still there?
Yep.
Or are you out in your car? Did you leave?
Yep. No,
you're
still here.
Okay.
I'm in the other room.
We had to kick him out of the studio.
Yeah.
Our tech wouldn't work right. So, but anyway, this is Taylor from District 95, and you go ahead and you can open up and tell what you got planned there, okay?
Awesome. Great. Well, yes, Taylor Mondick here. I'm the candidate for House District 95, and I've been campaigning since November. Chances are you've seen me in your neighborhood, because literally all we do is knock on doors, and we have knocked on thousands of doors, just trying to spread the word that we, you know, have a choice this election for some new representation. You know, we've had the same leader, quote unquote, for the past 10 years. And that is a long time in office for such little action and little movement in the positive direction. You know, I tell people all the time, just in the past 2, let alone 10 years, how many times have our taxes gone up? Are your streets getting fixed? The answer is usually no. You know, crime rate is out of control right now. We're not even having a conversation about it. Property taxes keep going up, and everyone keeps saying that they're going to eliminate it. We still haven't seen that happen yet. Our schools, I mean, we're not educating kids properly. You know, last year, the first half of this campaign, I would talk to people and I'd say, you know, 60% of our kids, third graders, they can't even read on grade level. And the new report came out and it's 75% now. So something's not right. And change is a good thing. And I think 95, as much as it's grown, we continue to diversify. We've got a lot of issues, but I see it more as opportunities. We need some new leadership. And so it's been a great time. Met so many wonderful folks. Today I was out talking to people who hadn't voted yet, so we were working on getting them to the polls, and they're ready for change. So it's been a good experience, and I do appreciate you having me on today. Hello?
I'm sorry to interrupt you here. I'm sorry, Taylor. I was off on something here. Your agent was yelling at me, talk. I'm sorry.
I just introduced myself, and I did my thing.
Okay, very good. I'll tell you, did you mention your component's name by any chance?
opponent.
Counterpart.
I usually don't, but yeah, her name
That's
is
good.
Her name is Nicole.
Because all you're doing is
Collier.
Giving her advertise when you just give her advertise when you do sometimes.
I mean,
you know, but
here's the thing: she could probably use a little bit. You know, I've knocked on I don't know how many doors, and I can count on one hand how many people actually know her name, and that's a problem when you've been in office for 10 years. Someone asked me the other day, first 100 days, what are you going to do? And I'm thinking that's about 3.5 months. That's three town halls. Three times you and me are going to sit down face to face in, you know, live and in person, and we're going to talk. I'm going to listen. What does your community need? What does your community need? What votes are coming up in, you know, session? I want to run everything past the citizen because that's the kind of government that I want. And that's the kind of leadership that I intend on portraying.
That's exactly what we need. And I do want to mention out that I did reach out to Nicole Collier and invite her. But she, over the years, she's never returned a call. And the same thing.
Well, it's no show Nicole.
No show Nicole. She's never returned. I've talked to her several times. But she's a regular, like the other politicians, a lot of politicians there. And the reason they get back in office is because we don't have enough people paying attention to our local elections and voting. And like Holly was saying about our bond vote, there's not that many people out there. And that's our city doesn't want people, more people to vote. They like the establishment to vote and keep the same people in and keep the rest of the people no knowledge. And let us just be servants. Take our money and do what they want. That's pretty good deal they got there. I had to hand it to them.
Oh, it's a sweet deal. And speaking of sweet deals, you know, we recently – discovered that my opponent has a real sweet deal with Fort Worth ISD. You know, they recently brought her on, got a piece of this $1.2 million, and she will be now counseling Fort Worth ISD on their bonds, their bond underwriting, and she'll be providing services. And so basically you've got a member of the Texas House, a lawmaker, who is representing a school district in her own district, right, and is going to be basically drafting and editing on how much they get to tax us. I mean, I'm trying to put it in the most simple terms possible, but if that doesn't smell like a conflict of interest, then I don't know what does.
Well, it smells like the rigor of politics has been going on. Everything's been, you know, that's normal what's going on nowadays, and that's what we need to change and start getting back to where the people are informed, invited, whether they want to come out or what, informed. That's what we're trying to do here, too. We think by trying to share information with people, if they get to know more about what's going on, they're more maybe will get involved. And that's what we got to do. And that's the only thing I know to do to get involved. I keep trying to share information on that. What does the your job consist of covering there as a House representative? State rep.
Yeah, so it's for
Do you pass
Texas
rules
House,
or what?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you are you're drafting legislation. You know, these are lawmakers, so these have more of a direct impact on our everyday lives than most, especially like you had mentioned earlier in Washington, things like that. Now, what I see a lot of these laws because there are so many laws on the books. I see a lot of our leaders and lawmakers infringing upon the rights of the citizen, right? You take like TDLR licenses and regulations, and you look at how hard it is to actually open up a business or, you know, sell eggs from your front porch. You know, anything that they can do to prohibit movement of the citizen and to increase their wallets, they're going to do. And so my big passion is to push back against that and to people be free. You know, that's what we need. Fewer laws, less regulations. And laws that make sense, really. And so you can do that, or you can make amendments to the Constitution. You know, you are over committees. We know that's a big issue right now with one party being allowed to serve on or as chairs. So there's a lot that you can do. There's a lot of power there. It's been wasted for the past 10 years, and I'm ready to put it to work for the people here in 95.
Well, that sounds right. There is a legislation that I'd like to see get passed. I never bother this stuff up that way because if you're asking for something to do that's going to infringe on what they're doing, they're not never going to pass it. You know, never going to do it. And one that I was told, and I'm not even sure if I got the right information from the city manager, but they say we had to use a paper to advertise in. That's why the Star Telegram keeps getting the 200. This time it went up to $220,000 contract. And my thing is right now is that anything that goes in that newspaper could be put on the city website for free instead of paying $3 for a paper, $200,000 to this paper, and then they turn around and charge us $3 a buy to read about foreclosures, you know. So
yeah,
we could put it on our city website. We've updated now. Back in the day when we didn't have a website and all that, yes, we needed a paper and that, but now we have modern technology brought us along, and I can't seem to get the and when I talked to the city manager, they said it's in legislation. You'd have to go through legislation to change it where they didn't have to do that no more. But, you know, they won't do it because the paper endorses them. And that's another conflict of interest.
Yeah.
You know, council gives them
approves
$200,000 there, and they turn around and put the council back in the paper and you know, endorse them, you know. So I'd like to
start telegram. Yeah, well, I like that because it's common sense. It's a common sense. It would be a common sense piece of legislation, you know. I've always said, go ahead.
I mean, I'm just going to say, Star Telegram, I didn't mind the money going to them back in 15 when they were a real newspaper, because what they did in 15, they would interview all the candidates running and publicize all the candidates running what they said. Around 19 is when they changed, 17 or 19, and I saw it coming, and I hated to see it, but I saw it coming because across the state's doing it. They started endorsing. So now they put out, this is who we suggest. They interview all the candidates and tell you who to pick. And that
so I haven't
is a conflict
seen that
of interest.
This cycle. Have you? I may have missed
That's
it.
What
but
it
I know
be. I think it'll be it's endorsement since 19. They've been endorsing candidates and not taking them and interviewing and publicizing. Now, Fort Worth Weekly has been good about the last election, council election.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Worth, and as many people we had running on the last one, too, is unreal. But Fort Worth Weekly interviewed all of them. Put it in a paper, and then let the people read it, okay?
Yeah,
and make
that's
up
great.
Their mind.
Yeah. Yeah, transparency.
That's what I'd like to see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, transparency and equal access for everybody, you know? So I could get on board with that for sure.
Man, so, yeah, that's one thing I heard. And I'm not even sure if I got the right news from the manager, because they don't tell me the right thing half the time anyway when I ask. But I was told by one of the city managers that you had to go through legislation to stop paying the Star Telegram or had to have a paper. Like I said, I could have got there. They could have gave me, you know, they're always blowing smoke up my shorts here to send me off some other way sometimes. But if that's true, then if you get in there, that would be a good one to look at. And we try to get the papers from endorsing candidates. That would be one thing to help us start trying to get back to getting good candidates that are endorsed by the people and not the newspaper and that.
Yeah, I could get on board with that 100%.
Did you look at the last race for your 95 there and see how many people voted in it last time?
Yeah, so, you know, we don't get many candidates over here in 95 that are running, I guess, on the conservative ticket. I say it like that because there is an idea that here in 95 we should only ever elect Democrats or be, you know, represented by Democrats. And what I try to tell people is, listen, both sides are absolutely nuts and out of control. Okay. I can give you, for every five Democrats that are doing something shady, I can give you five Republicans. And so I wish we had a better system. Like, you know, I'm a big believer. We should have 15, 20 parties. That way you're forced to pick the candidate. So we don't get a lot of people on the conservative ticket, and so the turnout has always been really, really low. You know, my opponent kind of gets the same amount of votes every cycle, and the ones that kind of decide that they want to take a go at it, their turnout is incredibly low too. But no one's been inspired by anyone, I feel like, until this race. You know, no one has gone out and into the neighborhoods. It doesn't matter what neighborhood or it with the people in order to get to know them, get to know their needs and their concerns, and put their face out there. And that's what I think separates my campaign from all the other ones, including my opponents. You know, I'm here, I'm out there, and I think that this is going to be a very different kind of race when we start looking at those numbers on Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever get an actual number kind of like in my district for, I think it was about 6,000 or 7,000 votes total on our city council district five
for
last election.
Oh, for your
yeah,
council?
In district five, it was about 7,000 votes total out of 100,000 people.
I honestly do not know the number off the top of my head. I think that she got about 46,000 votes, and that's out of 150,000 registered voters. And so you're looking at that and thinking, okay, this is exciting. We've got a lot of people that we can reach, you know, a lot of people that haven't felt like there was a need to show up. And so hopefully we'll see a big change on Tuesday.
Well, I hope so. I'd like to. Well, you know, it's like a war. It's a battle between the system and because the system doesn't really want people to get involved. They like what they got going on. Mm-hmm. That's why in Fort Worth here, when they put up a billboard, instead of putting a billboard about bond meetings or budget meetings or redistricting meetings, they put up a billboard that says, "Welcome to Fort Worth, the modern West." How could I live without knowing that?
Oh, I saw.
You know, that's where my tax dollars going.
I know.
And that's just, it's really for the builders is all that far to bring more people in. So developers, that's all that board was for, not for us. It's for the builders. And to bring more people in to sell more and make money. But instead, that board should be used, that money should be used to say about bond meetings, go to the city website, get updates, addresses, you know, stuff like that.
Could you imagine, imagine our government doing something that would actually truly help the citizen get involved? I mean, it'd be wild.
Yeah, that would be wild. That would be different than the other.
Yeah.
There.
But you know, Bob, we've got to also demand these things. And I know, like you had mentioned it, it's trying to get people involved. I think we are starting to see a shift there. I think more people are starting to get involved because what's going on the federal level that has trickled down to, you know, the state and local levels. And this just air of arrogancy that surrounds all of our elected officials, you know, we're tired of it, you know, and, it was the citizens that founded this country. It's going to be the citizens that save it, no elected official. So it's an exciting time because I feel like people are getting engaged. They've been touched now by bad policy and they're feeling it. And I hope that will, all the stuff that we've been through over the past couple of years is enough to get people out on Tuesday.
I hope so. I'm hoping more because, you're right. It is arrogant. It's bad. And we really do. And it wouldn't take much to tilt the scale, I'll tell you, with somebody not voting. You know,
correct.
Just get someone to woke up and tilt the scale. We can do a lot, you know, more. I mean, I've been at it for 10 years, over 10 years, and spent thousands of dollars. And I'm saying I hope we see some kind of change. I'm hoping But I think we do because, like I say, my head's focused mostly on the council, mayor, and my district. And that's enough to give my ulcers. So I don't look at them. That's enough right there for me. But that's why my head stays focused on that right there. Mostly just trying to, if I can't get that changed out, how can I do anything else, you know? So, we've seen a little crackdown at city council with Chris Nettles in District 8. Like I said, I've gone to over 100 council meetings. I've had a lot of meetings, everything. I've been really obsessed with this, like a fanatic. And this is the first time a few months ago Chris spoke. When he first got, he would come to budget meetings and stuff before he got elected. He ran again and again. He was out there with us a little bit. He was like on our side and a part of us. You know, he even got taken out of the city hall by the police like I have. So, you know, he was one of us. And when he got elected, he first got elected, I mean, it went to his head or something. I mean, I chased him down with the camera, and he was a total pompous, you know. But, I mean, who can say, once you get in, a lot of things hit you, a lot of things happen. But after he's been in there a little while, he finally, about a month or two ago, he broke and at the council meeting there, and he said, "Bob, you're right. It was wrong for us to take away the right to speak. I'm going to bite my tongue." And he went on about 3 minutes about how council keeps taking slice and slice from us, and he's right. They were taking slice. And he went on about 3 minutes. And I was so pleased. I know the other council members and Beck was gritting her teeth probably, and they all hate me hearing me get a compliment. Oh, that's the worst thing you can do is give me a compliment in front of them. And Maddie, you know, they all upset about that. But
kudos.
But anyway, he did
break.
That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Great.
And that was good.
Yeah.
That was really good to have that.
That's very good. That gives me a little bit of, you know, hope.
We want to break some more up and start putting cracks in these blocks and start getting a few more to, working at it. And we need it all around. And like you say, you're doing the laws and stuff, right? So if you're in legislation, maybe you can pass one to get rid of our mayor. No.
Okay, that's a little extreme.
No, I'm out of pocket there. Heather, are you still on the phone there? Is Heather still there?
You mean Holly?
Yeah, Holly. I'm sorry, Holly. I called you Heather. I got close, okay? But I was going to say,
you
do you have any questions for? You got any questions for Mr. Montag you'd like to ask or anything?
Well, I'm not going to because I am the main volunteer on Taylor's campaign, so I don't want anybody to be like acting.
Oh,
like
you know,
Taylor,
you're on Taylor's campaign, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll tell you, you know, really quickly, Holly, I had met at a couple of school board meetings and just, I'm pretty sure, I met at an event once and we got to talking and, but when I kind of learned more about Holly and that she was kind of the one to, you know, sue Fort Worth ISD, you talked about David and Goliath, you know, sue them over the mask mandate and no matter what she says, come out victoriously and win. I'm like, if she is willing to help me on my campaign, that's exactly who I want. And she has been an amazing, tremendous help. I mean, literally, I would not have even made it this far. So,
really?
Anyways, that's
okay. Well,
Holly,
I'm gonna write down
her
number and put it on speed dial.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be running here in a few months. I'm gonna call her to put her work. No, no, I appreciate it, Holly.
Oh no.
I appreciate it.
I have enough on my plate to take something else.
I'm sure you do.
I'm taking November and December off besides going to Fort Worth ISD board meetings. That's going to be about all I do. This has been exhausting, but it's been so much fun. I've never got to be this close in a campaign, and getting to watch Taylor, it just kind of makes you cry because he's the guy that we need. He's one of us. He's not one of them, and he wants to actually do things for the people, and he cares about people so much. And there's all kinds of candidates that, oh, I care about people. No, they don't. And they don't show that they care about people. And Taylor does show that he cares about people. Going in, and we walk every weekend together, and there was no neighborhood that we were not going to go into. Got scared one night about 10:30. I did get scared in one neighborhood that we were in. We were putting up signs right before early voting began. But nothing happened. People were nice. They were kind. My favorite was that, you know, we had gotten the word out about Taylor, and people, homeowners, were opening their homes saying, Taylor Mondick, I've been waiting for you, because that's a very close-knit community in 95, and they all talk with one another. They're neighbors with one another. And maybe they have social media pages and group pages. But the word was getting out that this guy truly wants to do the work, and he is walking his hiney off in all of these neighborhoods. And it's just, it's probably been the most fun thing that's ever happened in my life, of getting to work on this campaign with him.
Awesome.
It's been.
Well, it's because, you know, how long are we just going to keep settling for the same? You know, regardless of what side you're on, I can guarantee you everyone right now listening can think of three things that they would like to see change, whether it be, you know, super local in your neighborhood, or on a district level or a state level or a national level. But these never get addressed. What ends up happening is, you know, the powers that be start to pit each group against each other. And next thing you know, you're wallowing in these petty issues and arguments, and it takes your eye off the ball. And that is the citizen, you know? And so, yeah, it has been a lot of fun, and I'm excited, and I'm ready to get to work. You know, it's going to be a whole new ball game.
Well, I'm hoping you're in there and do it, because I've had enough in the call. I've got a caller, 319, 901-319. Do you have any questions for Taylor?
Good evening. How is everyone? Good evening, Bob. Good evening, Taylor. How are you?
Hi. Hello.
Hi. This is Carrie. Listen, I just wanted to tell everybody to get out on November 8th and vote for Taylor for House District 95. Taylor is the person for this job. And I think 10 years does not make it someone's seat. That just makes an elected position that someone had for 10 years. But I think House District 95 is needing a change, and I think Taylor Mondick is that change.
Thank you very much, Carrie. I appreciate you and all the work you do over here.
Just everybody go to the polls. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to hang up. Everybody go to the polls. Take five people with you. And if you are in what districts are what is your areas, Taylor?
Yeah. So we have a significant amount of Fort Worth, pretty much all of Fort Worth, Arlington, Forest Hill, Everman, Edgecliff Village. Those are our main cities. And yeah, you know, what better thing to happen on Tuesday than for us the citizens to actually vote for us the citizens? So take your friends.
All right, that's all I wanted to say. Everybody take five people to the poll.
Thank you. All right, Carrie.
Hey, Bob.
All right, thank you for coming on.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing. Who we got here? Is this Adrian?
This Adrian.
All right,
I've
had a long time no see, Adrian. Go ahead.
Real funny.
Go ahead.
I'm going to jump in on the conversation. Yeah, so glad to meet you in person, Taylor. It's glad to meet you in person. I want to say you have a great energy about yourself. And what I have stated on Carrie's show on Friday regarding you serving notice, that's basically what you have done. You have served notice to the incumbent because, like you say, a lot of these people get elected and then they occupy that space because people – They get elected, and then, like you say, when it's time to run again, they already know the atmosphere. So they don't have to do as much because they know the atmosphere. If they know they're running unopposed, it's it's like an automatic victory. So they know the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But what you have done, you have served notice. I think that's why you had your campaign has had such the kickback because it was expected because of who she was. Let's just put it out there: her ethnicity, representing that district. Like you said, we try not to base it off those things, but that was a factor.
Sure.
But the fact that you came in and then you didn't identify as a particular party. You just identified as a how would you say a conservative?
I mean,
I would say.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, just
I
down
would
the middle. Down. Okay, that's fine. So
constitutional conservative.
That's fine, and I think what it did, it just kind of shook up the place. It just shook up the place.
Yeah.
And we had that same thing happen back in 2021 with our local elections with the city council in every district. They had at least, I would say, five or more people running in each district. So, and that's including the mayor's seat. So we had multiple people running, something that has never been done here in Fort Worth. And I like to call it a voter wave.
I like that, Adrian.
What you have done.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, you just served, you basically just served notice. And that's why I say, regardless of the outcome, you get an experience, you get to see where you are. You know, we believe in that you're going to get over. We believe in that you're going to get to the finish line. But you know what I'm saying? We always have to look at the other side of the coin. So
but
at least you get the experience. You get to see where you are. You get to see what you're up against. And then you know what you do? You go back to the strategy room and just hit it harder the next time. But right now, we're going to speak to light that you're going to get to the finish line.
Amen. And I love what you said. You put it perfectly with that. And, you know, I will say, if anything, being able to go throughout this entire district, and, you know, it's a huge area, and I am trying to leave no door untouched, which is impossible. But, you know, seeing every little nook and cranny of where we're at, it just literally made me fall in love with 95 even more. I mean, we are really something special over here. We really are. And so I'm happy to be doing this. And, you know, I'm glad people are getting engaged and it's exciting. But, yes, we will manifest victory on Tuesday.
All right. It sounds like you got to speak those things that are not as though they were. Also, you have opened up people more into wanting to know what District 95 is all about, you know, the ins and outs. I think you have done that because, like you say, if a person gets elected, they can, if they're not going to do the work, they can easily just go behind the scenes and, you know, you don't hear nothing, see nothing. But what you have did, you have called out some things that the incumbent hasn't been doing or should be doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think with that, you open more people's readiness to want to know what District 95 is all about and what it all entails and what the candidate is supposed to do for the district, you know. Because, like I say, all I know is here local, you know. Like all I know is here city, you know, city wise. But district wise, I don't know what the candidate is supposed to be
fighting for,
you know. But I thank you for that's an
accomplishment. Yes, my pleasure. I mean, my
yeah. Thank you for highlighting those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Adrian.
All right, Bob.
Well, I was afraid he was going to say that. No, go ahead, Derek. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, for anyone out there that's still kind of like, okay, but what does that mean? You know, examples, you know, all, just fiscally, you know, everyone right now is feeling the effects of inflation, right? So we all know it when we're at the gas pump. We're seeing it at the grocery store. I mean, hell, eggs went up 40% last year, 40%, you know? And this morning when I was driving, the line for the food bank over there on the White Settlement Bridge was the longest line ever. And I'm not saying that everybody in that line was, you know, going to get food, but it just made me stop and think, like, what's going on, you know? And there's so much that we've had opportunities to do in the Texas House that we haven't done, like capping state spending. That came to a vote, and my opponent voted no. Okay, we need to have a responsible budget when we're talking about how that affects our citizens. When it comes to prohibiting a state income tax, that's one of the big sellers of Texas, you know. She voted no against that. When it comes to these school districts who are allowed to set their rates, here's the key part, without having to justify it, without having to show any kind of need, just pass it on to the citizen, she voted for that. When it comes to, the list goes on and on. There was another one that really really got me going, got me fired up. Tax increases without voter approval. She voted for that. So it's like you look at those few things, okay? Who do those favor and who do those hurt? And 9 times out of 10 on that voting record, it's hurt the citizens, favor Nicole. And, you know, we can't keep doing this. So that's just one kind of little example. My votes are going to come from the voice of the people, simple as that. And, so I just wanted to highlight that for everybody.
I'm sorry. Taylor, do you have a website, or did you mention it in your opening? I might have missed some of your opening. Do you have a website or contact or
anything you want to... Yeah, go check out the website. It's my95.win. That's my, the numbers, 95.win. The first thing you're going to see on there is my ad, and I highly suggest you watch it. It's the world's most amazing campaign ad because it's HD95. It's literally, we're just door to door, and there's something really fun that happened at the end. So go watch that ad, and that's it, my95.win. And, it'll take you everywhere else from there.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. Okay. We're at a point here. Was there anything more you want to touch on, sir? Anything more you want to cover here?
I've kind of said it all. I'll just say that I'm here. I'm accessible, you know, and I will never make you promises that I can't keep. That is why you don't hear me running around, I promise to do this or I promise to do that. No, I promise to show up for work, which will be a nice change.
Mm-hmm.
I promise that I'm going to do the job with integrity and honesty, and I promise that you're going to be doing this job with me. It's not the Taylor Show. It's the HD95 Show, and we're going to make this the strongest district in the state of Texas. That I will work for. That I will promise you I will work for that. So, check me out. We got one more day. If you'd like me to come by, knock on your door, you let me know because I'll do it. And see you at the polls on Tuesday, everybody.
Actually, we got two more days, don't we? Monday and Tuesday. Right?
Oh gosh, I can't even keep my days straight. Yeah, so
yeah,
well,
don't
we got
be cutting yourself short.
I mean, I thought it was Saturday earlier, and then Friday the other day. I mean, it's
well,
just,
you've been so busy.
You know,
I used to work a lot of concert tours in the 90s. I worked a whole lot of tours, and some of the bands would get confused on the road. I had one here was doing a show. We got here in Fort Worth, and he said, "Thank you, Houston." At the wrong place.
Yeah.
And you get so busy sometimes you can forget where you're at. You know?
Oh,
and that
yeah.
was the same thing, kind of like. But yeah, that's great. We're going to go back over and talk a little bit more about the school voting and stuff like that. I believe, Taylor, if we got everything covered for you, pretty much, you're welcome to
yes,
stay
sir.
On. Or if you had to go, that's problem, no problem, too. But
yeah,
lots
of
more
deliveries
to stay here
tonight.
With us.
Some more signs, some more shirts, some more push cards. I'm headed out to go drop those off. But I'm so, so grateful to have been on. And if you got questions, y'all just let me know.
Okay, that's very good. And then we'll bring Holly. Holly, I'll use your name right this time, maybe, instead of Heather.
You did. You did. I saw you start one.
Did I get it right? Okay. I got such a short attention span. You had to deal with me. I'm getting to a point. I don't think I should be trusted alone without adult supervision. So, but yeah. Was there any more? Well, on the school thing, was there anything more you want to tap on there a little bit or not? Or
yeah. So. Yeah, everybody knows that Fort Worth IC is pushing politics. We've seen it back during the primary when they allowed Deborah Peoples to go and speak at McLean 6. They did it during Black History Month, and she could have totally gone there and spoke about how, you know, she made it to VP of AT&T and all of the things that she talks about in her campaign in regards to AT&T. But they didn't bill her that way. They billed her as the current candidate running for Tarrant County Judge. And during the primary, if you remember, we did have a black man that was running as a Republican against Tim O'Hare and Betsy and Robert Bucher. But they didn't invite him to come on. So that was a violation of SB3. And Deborah Peoples knows this and knows that she's not allowed to do this. She just did it again at Rocket Ship Charter School, where all of the black female candidates on the Democratic ticket got to go and speak to the teachers. There's a live video. There were children there as well. And then they took the teachers to Miller Avenue, go vote. And so that's Rocket Ship, not Fort Worth ISD, but Deborah Peoples knew better. And there's been so many things that have been coming along since the – little over a year that I got involved in Fort Worth ISD and going to board meetings. And they pushed their politics really, really hard. They pushed them on my three kids that were in Fort Worth ISD last year. So it was no shock to me when I hear that Fort Worth ISD is going to be busing kids to Miller Avenue. And the first school that was going to be there was going to be Dunbar. And the people that were sitting out there, the poll greeters, how did they know? How did they know that those kids were coming if their candidates hadn't told them? And how did their candidates know when all of the Republican candidates did not know? And there was a woman that was on a page, and she said that, you know, almost 900 permission slips had been sent out and returned. How did she know that? Where are they getting this information from? So, yes, I am going to assume that it's assuming by following the dots. A candidate that is running for judge has been endorsed by three different school board trustees. And guess what? The four schools that came to Miller Avenue to vote are two of those trustees' schools. And then the other school that got to go vote is that they did not come to Miller, but that trustee also endorse this judge. And the live videos are all there for you to see. You can hear the teacher talking negatively about Abbott to Crystal. Like I said earlier, you can see the teacher doing a selfie with Crystal. There's photographs of Lisa Pamplin giving her sign to all the kids so that the kids could hold her sign and she could take a picture of them. It was just, it may not be considered illegal, but it's really not good, fair optics is how it seems. And so there were comments that people were upset about it. And we were upset about it because Paxton sent a PDF to all of the schools letting them know how they need to do things in regards to this election. And one of the things that he specifically pointed to was that they are not allowed to use our publicly funded school buses to take the kids to the polls. And they did it anyways. And they had the kids, instead of parking the bus where the kids could just easily walk into the polling location, they parked the bus on Miller Avenue. And I stood outside Miller Avenue for 7 hours on Thursday, and that's a very busy street for that bus to be parked on and blocking the views from all of the other drivers. The bus refused to park in the area that had been sectioned off for the bus to park in. And to me, it was that they wanted the kids to have to walk through all of the people that were out there poll grading, electioneering for the Democrat candidate. And I don't like it. I don't like the optics of it. It is, again, Fort Worth ISD skating around the law, looking for the loopholes to do what they want to do with our children. And it's, you know, on fire across the whole nation that our schools are trying to turn our children into kids that want socialism and communism and turning them into Marxists and Democrat voters. And I don't like it. I think every family has a right to send their child to public school and get them an education on reading and writing and math and science. And how about we get more than 3% of our seventh graders to pass the STAR before we start pushing politics? Can we teach them to read first? Did our kids really need all of, Wednesday off, Wednesday and Thursday, more kids went to the polls, versus they're missing invaluable instruction time. And then they've also given all the kids off on Tuesday. And they said that it was a safety issue of having people come into the schools. We've done this forever. And I actually think that it's making it harder for some parents to go vote if they were going to wait for Election Day, which I like to wait for Election Day to vote. And if they were going to wait, now they're going to have to take their kiddos with them. I think it's great if they do take their kids, but it could be a deterrent for parents to take their kids to go vote. So everything that Fort Worth ISD is doing, it's showing you that they're pushing politics. When they sent the resolution about the AR-15s to Abbott, that has no business from the school board to get involved with that. If they want to go talk to the legislators, they could, but they did it to play politics and to push their narrative of what they want our children to know and hide the truth from them. I mean, obviously, I am a Republican, so I'm going to have different feelings than some Democrats on this. But at the end of the day, I don't want our schools teaching our kids about being a Republican or a Democrat. Absolutely not. That's my job, and that's something that I'm supposed to do. That's called parenting, and I still want the job. Even if some people don't want it, I still do want that job, and I want to be the one that's guiding my children on our family values. And I want Fort Worth ISD to stay out of it. And what they did with these kids and taking them to the polls and busing them, it was them pushing their politics. And if they had truly wanted to teach these kids what it was like in the voting process, why didn't they call Hyder Garcia with Tarrant County Elections and plan something with them? Why did they go past other polling locations to go to Miller Avenue? It's a very small poll site. Why was the poll workers not given notice that they were coming so that they could adequately handle all of these kids? I watched on Thursday as the kids stood outside. I mean, it was beautiful weather, so it wasn't like it was hot or cold or raining. Beautiful weather, but they had to stand outside for well over an hour waiting to try to get in there to see if they were actually eligible to vote. Why were our teachers not handling that? Do you have your ID? Did you register to vote? Are you even 18 years old? Why were they putting 16 and 17-year-olds on this bus and taking them away from instruction time, and then they weren't going to get to even vote? And That's what I witnessed, and I've been following this all along. And it's upsetting to me because it could have been a great experience for our kids. And instead, Fort Worth ISD did not handle it properly. And it wasn't a great experience for the kids. A lot of the kids are very disappointed when they got turned away at the polls because they couldn't vote. And they thought they were going to go get to vote. And so I want to do what's right by kids. Leave politics out of it. You want to teach your kids to vote Democrat? Do it. But the school should not be involved in it in any way, form, or fashion.
That is correct there. And I'll tell you, something I like for the school board to do, and I like for people to come down and do, is the school board have their meetings on the same day as city council does.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can't go to both. I'd love to see it bumped over
right.
to a Wednesday or another night where it's not the same night as council. And I understood, I hadn't been to a city, to a school board meeting in quite a while, but when I went there some years ago, they used to have, I understood that they moved the puppet spoke first. I understand they moved it
mm-hmm.
to the bottom. I don't know. I hadn't been to one for a while. And
they
that was from the city council. Yeah, and they put us
they
on the bottom where we should be on top.
They only did it for a few meetings because they were trying to silence the public. And so we had parents show up to the board meeting, basically, you know, showing the board we're not going to go away. And they showed up in their pajamas, letting them know we're going to be here until the end. You're going to listen to us. I have not come home from board meetings until 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
When she breaks up,
and
am
I breaking up?
You know, you just said when I saw talking.
Bob, am I breaking
hi.
Up? Yeah.
I'm going to let Adrian break in here. He had a question and then come in.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Hey, Holly, this is Adrian. Glad to have you on tonight. Now, regarding experience for these youth that occurred on last Thursday. How did the watchdog get involved? Not that it's a bad thing. Not that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, how did they catch wind of the watchdog, the Fort Worth ISD watchdog?
I do not know who Fort Worth ISD watchdog is. I was accused of being watchdog at the polling site.
They
accused my husband of being watchdog at the polling site. And that's really funny because I love my husband. He's a smart man. But when it comes to everything with the school, that's my department. And so I thought that was pretty comical. So I'm not watchdog. So they would have to answer that of how they found out about it.
It's perfectly nothing. It's perfectly nothing wrong with it because, like I said, watchdog serves a purpose. Whether it's the watchdog of Fort Dodge D or the watchdog of the city, they serve a purpose. And like you stated, everything you stated, it's nothing wrong with what you're stating and what you're saying because the video I saw that was shared with me. And I even told Bob, and I think I don't know if I mentioned to Carrie, but I said those youth, they looked a little confused, you know, about the whole ordeal.
They did.
And I said, what'd you say now?
I said they did. Well, I mean, I electioneer, and I did it during the primary, and I've been doing it during early voting here. It is intimidating. I remember going to the polls, and I was like, oh, my God, those people want to talk to me. So you pretend to be on your phone or you look away or you park in a different area because you don't know that those people are just there. They don't want to harass you. If you're going to say, no, I'm going to vote for so-and-so, they're not going to argue
right.
with you. They're just citizens that are there because they believe in a candidate. Yeah, sometimes people pay them to do that. But for the most part, when I'm there electioneering, people are there as volunteers, same as I am. And so having them, my friend calls it walking the gauntlet of having to go through all those people electioneering. You see when the bus pulls up, a man is literally standing there outside of the bus door ready to get his into those kids' hands. And it's an aggressive tactic just to be so close. Like I never go up to anybody's car. Most of the time it's holding a sign, how are you doing, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, when they leave
right.
the polls. thank you for voting. You know, however you vote, thank you for voting. Like, you showed up. You might not have voted for all the candidates I love. I have no idea who you voted for, but thanks for voting. And so the kids all look like, what is this? And why are these people here? And why are they talking to us? And why are they filming us? They just look like scared, like you said, like, what is this? And I get it from being at polling sites with adults that don't want to talk to me and don't want to talk to anybody, and we make them nervous. And so that was their first opportunity to go and look at how they were just hounding them. And so and they were very disappointed that they couldn't vote, because I was there when Eastern Hills was there, and they were very disappointed. And the electioneers that were there all of the days were screaming that the election judge was suppressing the black vote and the minority vote. That wasn't what was happening.
Right.
They're 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm. And the election judge has a duty, whether it's one, two, three. Those election judges, I'm sure they always ask me, do you want to be an election judge? And I think I've said yes on a couple of occasions, but I'm sure it's a process they go through. It's a serious process. Voting is nothing we take lightly. You know, voting is nothing we take lightly. You know, so to see those youth go through that, and I share with Bob, I said, I feel like they should have had a mock set up at school prior to even all of this going on. They should have had a mock set up or something so they can have an idea of what to expect. But one thing I don't like when I go voting, and you said it, I don't like people pushing something on me, because like I told Bob tonight, I said, most people when they go to the polls, and then Bob explained another side of it to me, most people when they go to the polls, they already had their mind made up for who they are voting for. But Bob, he explained the other side of it. He said most of those people there are just, because he said a lot of people just go vote for those candidates, but they don't go vote for nobody else. You know, they'll probably leave those certain spots blank. So he said some of those times, those people there are just to put a little idea in here, hey, if you're not voting, thinking about a judge, and you want to vote for a judge, this judge is here, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't like candidates being there pushing. Look, man, you're a candidate. Listen, if you're a candidate, and I think that's like the easy way out for a candidate. I think Taylor has been hitting the ground running. You know what I'm saying. So, but I think if a candidate's going to spend money and resources on literature and stuff to get out, they need to go out in the neighborhood and put that out. Don't wait. Don't go to a polling place and hang out and just be. That's easy. That's not doing the work. You know, get out into the communities. But I feel like those youth, to hear that a lot of them didn't get the opportunity to vote, that means somebody didn't do their due diligence in understanding the process.
Well, I do like the candidates being out there electioneering. I don't know if you've ever electioneered before. It's fun, but it's a lot of work. The 2 days that I stood there for well over 7 hours, 8 hours, the whole time, 12 hours the polls were open on primary voting day, and then on Thursday, I got sunburned because I stood out there for so long. And I like when the candidates are there because you can go straight up to them and ask them a question.
Okay.
Get your answer. I do want them to block walk. I love to see when the candidates are actually out block walking, not just paying companies to go out and block walk for them. And, you know, candidates can't do it all. So I'm not mad at them for hiring companies that go out and block walk. But I want to see that the candidate is out block walking too. And I like the candidates being at the polls. Taylor will be at the polls. We're going to be bouncing around between all the polls on Tuesday just so that they can see his face, see that he is interested, that he wants to earn your vote. He wants to answer your questions. Bring him. He'll answer them. And he's going to answer them to you like we the people talk. He's not going to give you, the spin story that the politicians do, because he wants you to truly vote for the representative that has your values. And if it's not Taylor and it's Nicole and you want your taxes to go up again and again and again, vote for her. because that's what she's done. And but the whole thing with Fort Worth ISD, if they had reached out to Hyder, Hyder would have loved for the kids to come and learn the process. Probably not during early voting of coming to Tarrant County of Elections. He probably would have wanted to do something beforehand. But let's just look at it. This was a field trip. They had the parents sign forms, even though they didn't have to because the kids were 18. Maybe that's why they did have them sign forms, because some of them weren't 18. But they did have them sign forms, so I'm glad that the parents were informed. I am glad about that. But when – I've kind of lost my train of thought there. I can't believe I just did that. It's been a long week of being at Miller. But for them to have the kids fill out the forms, why were the parents filling out forms for their 16- and 17-year-olds to go vote? Like,
is it possible?
Education?
I'm saying, is it possible the parents didn't know, or what was actually on the release form that they were signing? What was actually, you know, it could have been a form that didn't really state that. So let me ask you this question, Holly. Because you said you all have been at the Poly Sub Courthouse. Has that been the highest concentration of people coming out the Poly Sub Courthouse?
I was only there on Thursday, and the only reason I went to that location is because we had a Mondick volunteer go on Wednesday, because she lives 1.2 miles to the voting center. That's her neighborhood.
Gotcha.
And so she was out there electioneering for Taylor, and some people took her photograph and said not nice words about her and put it on Facebook publicly. And if anybody that's my friend, I'll defend you. And I don't like people bullying and being mean to my friends. And she wanted to go back to that location because it was what was closest to her home. And I didn't want her going by herself. After watching the videos and listening to what was said, reading the comments, seeing the posts, I didn't think it was safe for her to be there alone. So I went, and I was correct. It was not. And so I went there. Was there a ton of voters? It was pretty busy. They had a line from time to time. It's a great polling site for electioneering, because you have to drive into the parking lot past where the camps can set up to electioneer. So I will give them that. But it's a small polling site, and I didn't plan on being there for 7 hours on Thursday. I planned on being there for a short period of time and bouncing around to other locations. But it got to the point where it was too dangerous to just leave one person there, and it just got too out of hand. And we went to that location because, you know, me and Taylor, we want to be out in 95. We want to relate to the people, talk to people. We wanted to talk to our voters. And a lot of 95 voters go to that polling site, so we wanted to be there and give them the opportunity. Every single voter has the right to know that there's two candidates, that there's two parties, to see that and to have the opportunity to come over and ask questions, get a push card, read about it. There are a lot of people come to the polls, and they don't know who they're going to vote for. I've swayed people in the parking lots just by giving information about candidates, because they do want to know. I electioneered against a bond for Fort Worth ISD. I guess that would have been about this time last year, because they're not good stewards of our money. I don't trust them with $2 billion. And so getting to actually talk to the voters in the parking lot and let them know it actually is a tax increase. They're lying to you. And explaining that to them, they appreciated the information. And I always can bring facts, tell them how to look things up, go back to your car, read it. Lots of people do make their minds up at the polls by reading those push cards and talking to people. And to have a mom of three whose kids are in sports say, I, you know, totally want a stadium, but absolutely not with this board, because they waste money. It's like they hire Neiman Marcus to build these buildings, and then they get the quality that's less than Walmart. Absolutely not. So I enjoy the electioneering process, but I did see with the kids that they kind of looked, you know, scared. And the other thing that I lost my train of thought earlier is if this was a field trip, let's say you're taking, you know, four classes of kindergartners to McDonald's on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Are they going to have the staff midweek to accommodate all of those kids? They're not. So you call them and you give them the heads up that you're coming with all of these kids. No school shows up for a field trip and doesn't call the place that they're going and let them know they're coming. The poll site was not told that the kids were coming. So they didn't have enough staff there. And like I said, it's a very small polling site. So the kids kind of stood around for a long time, missing valuable instruction time at school. And if maybe Hyder had been told, maybe Hyder could have had people out there from Tarrant County Elections explaining how the process goes while the kids were waiting to go in. It could have just been so much better. But it was like it was thrown together at the last minute, and it was there to try to get votes and to sway voters. I just don't like the optics of it.
Hey, Holly, I want to. Can you hear me? Okay, I changed headsets.
I sure can.
It's working, but okay, very good. What I want to do is back up just a little bit. There is something I do have a bit of a conflict with: is when these campaigns hire people to go out and do stuff. I know it's a big area, but to keep the race fair, if everybody just gets volunteers, how many of you just get one or none? At least the race is fair. When we use money to buy, whoever has the most money can buy the most extra people to work to get more word out to overshadow the one that don't have the money. And I kind of like to get back more to where we get the money out of it and try to get more people to understanding that it's their duty to get involved and back these candidates. But if you can't get them, at least we're on equal ground. If this one guy's running, he can't get anybody to help. They can't get anybody. At least they're both equal. But when one has money, they can hire people, and that gives them a slight advantage or a large advantage, actually, over the other candidate just because of the funds. And that's something I see a lot of candidates just getting because of who has the most money. And that's why I kind of like to see get out with you.
It's a pay-to-play city. We know that.
But, I mean, I can understand it's a big area to cover. You need a lot of people. But if we make it if both candidates have to do it without extra help, fair. You know what I mean? They're both working the same way.
Right.
I'd like to get the races more fair and not let the money do it. And that's where my stand is on that kind of like. I feel like that's where it should go. That. But, you know. And, you know, and one thing I'm doing when I run for office. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You're cutting in and out, so I didn't know you were.
Am I cutting in and out?
Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah,
maybe
it was
it's my.
Cutting in and out, but I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now? It might be my throat.
I can. Go ahead.
It's probably my voice.
No, it's not.
No, I don't know. The mic might have been down. I don't know. I cut in and out all the time, Holly. I mean, my brain doesn't work all the time. It goes off and on. So, but actually, I just lost my train of thought on that.
Hear you about the campaigns and the money and, you know, the most money wins. And where Taylor's campaign is not, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's other races for representative during the primary. And just during the primary, the candidates that lost, they raised about $250,000 and up for the primary. And we have not raised that for the entire campaign. And so when people are like, well, you have to get people out. No, you don't. You have to have a candidate that is willing to put on his shoes, tie up his laces, and hit the streets. And that's what we have done. When Taylor says that he has knocked 7,000 doors, that's how many he personally knocked. That's not including the ones that I knocked or any of our volunteers knocked. That is just Taylor himself. And so he put himself out there to get the word out to the people and has been doing that. And we are an extreme grassroots, bare bones campaign, not a lot of thrills. Out there, but it also would be super helpful if, you know, if we could pay people, because my husband likes to call me a professional volunteer, He always, I tell him, no, I'm going to do so-and-so now. And he's like, do you get paid for it? And I'm like, no. He's like, I really wish you'd find all these things that excite you that you could get paid for it. Because I've got gas wear and tear on my car. We have expenses of being a volunteer. And so I do see where it would be nice to be able to pay people back for the money that they have to invest, because it can get really expensive. I really care about education. That's my wheelhouse. And so going all over the state, it's expensive. It costs us thousands of dollars to go and do this. And I don't get paid for it. I just do it. But I am tired of, you know, whichever campaign wins has the most money. But that's where we need to go back on educating voters as we the people. Like, I would love to set something up where people can come in and they can hear about the process, hear about the candidates. I love to go where all the candidates are speaking. I like to go and show up so that I can hear them. But most people don't know about them. And a year and a half ago, I never knew that, you know, so-and-so's running for such-and-such, and they have a meet and greet. And you can just walk right up to them and talk to them, and you can ask them questions. And I'm sure most people are like me from 18 months ago, didn't know that you could do that and get out. So it's going to have to go back. We're never going to be able to pull all the money and all of the corrupt people out of our campaigns, the PACs and Soros and all of that, that are putting money into these campaigns, out-of-state money into these campaigns. I just don't see it ever happening. So while I agree with you that I don't like how much money goes into some of these campaigns and how, you know, most money wins, but it's going to have to come back on we the people, where we're going to have to do something of educating people. And there's the great story of, I think he was a bus driver, and he had like $1,000, and he won school board. And this was someplace up north. My kiddo's new school district, running for school board, you're only allowed to spend $500, period, end of subject. You cannot spend more than $500 of your money.
That's what I was just fixing to say up on some campaign, well, I can get the word out. Limitations on campaign finance reform, anyway, to put a cap on.
Yeah.
That's what we need. That's what I'd love for our city council to do.
Yeah, I would like to do that too, because there's some people that are about to run for city council again, and they're powerhouses when it comes to fundraising. And how is somebody like you, like me, supposed to run for city council and compete with some of that? And it's really difficult to get the word out when you don't have the money. Signs are expensive, pushcards, T-shirts, radio ads, commercials, billboards, you know, having people put your signs up for you. All of that, and take them back down. That's expensive to do all of that. And how can someone that, like you and me, they care about the city, we care about our taxes, we want to get involved, but we're not millionaires. And so we're not millionaires, so we don't hang out with millionaires and have all those friends that can donate all this money to our campaign. And it just doesn't seem very fair.
Three things that are undermining our election a lot, and that's the Police Association, the Firefighter Association, and the Star Telegram. Now, all three of those are undermining our election, too, and that, by giving endorsements and stuff, and it's hurting.
Yes.
The Police Association has gave hundreds of thousands of dollars. We pay the police to protect us, and the police turn around and spend millions of dollars in POA dues. POA turns around and spends hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars putting candidates in office, and that circle needs a break. And the neighbors need to elect their council member, not the POA. And so the money is a big thing. That's who's getting in office, who has the most money right now. In Florida, they do have campaign finance caps, you know, in Florida. I like that. And that would be something that would help. It would help too.
I did not know that.
What I like. But you got to have counsel. The people that put it in, or the people that had to put it in, are the crooks that won't put it in. So that's who's in charge of it, and that's why you can't get stuff like that in. But I'd love to see term limits and campaign finance caps. You know, limits on campaign finance. Both of those things there would help make us a more fair race. and try to get more people to run for the issues and to be on topic and subjects, you know, and things like that. But right now, it's just it's a bought thing. It's who has the most money. They put in what I think $1 million or maybe $2 million into Maddie Parker to put her in office here for a job that pays $29,000 a year. You know, and
right, and don't forget, we just have their salaries on our ballot where they were asking for more money, and they were saying that if there was more money attached to their salaries, we the people would be able to run. Well, no, we wouldn't, because it still goes back to who do you know and who gives money in these PACs. I like to look at Transparency USA and look at the candidates' filing reports. Who's donating to them? Is it $5 here, $20 here, $100 from Mrs. Jones down the street, or is it $10,000 from 123 PAC? And where are they getting this money from, and what are they buying? What vote are you buying from that PAC?
In 13, when I ran in 13, that's the first thing I looked at my opponent, and POA gave her three checks of $20,000 each, $60,000. And all that money wound up in a P.O. box in Austin, Texas. So you can look at their campaign finance report. It's all written there where they get the money from, POA, and where it's sent to, where they spend their money. And it showed where she put $60,000 in a P.O. box in Austin, Texas as campaign advisory. So, but, Gina Bibbins is the council member here in District 5.
Okay. That's
and
true.
Actually, I was a supporter of her when she first ran. But it didn't take but 2 weeks of her in office that I realized, oh, geez, we got another one there, you know. Also, I think we have another caller on the line that just came in. We'll open up and see if the 817-917, who do we have there?
This is Todd. How are you?
Todd. Hi. Come on out. And you got any questions? Come on.
I was listening. Well, you know, I'm friends with Taylor and also with Holly, who've been on earlier. And y'all were talking about campaign finance, and I was just Googling around, and I went to Ballotpedia, and I was looking at Nicole's campaign finance for the last election. And, you know, she's got $23,000 in apartments in Austin. She's got $10,000 or $9,400 for a remodeling outfit that remodels buildings and stuff. She had $142,000 on hand for the last election. I'm sure it's more now, but
no, it's not.
She's paying for all
it's
of her
not.
Stuff. You know, she's got two cars on here, Autobahn, so she drives an Audi or something, and her auto finance is on here for $18,000. So she's driving nice cars, and she's staying in nice condos in Austin. You know, so we're paying for it. She votes against. She votes for all these bond things. That's all I have to say, really.
Well, I appreciate you listening in. To speak on that,
the apartment thing, so that people understand. When you're a representative, you have to have a place to live in Austin, and so she has an apartment there. And what she pays per month for that apartment is over double what I pay for my home in Fort Worth, and where I live 100% of the time. And she lives 90% of the time in District 95. But then she spends that much money in donations. And her campaign finance shows that she is consistently not raising as much money from election to election to election. And it makes me kind of wonder, has her donors said, you know, I'm sick of paying for your fancy pants apartment in Austin and paying for your car and your cell phone and for you to go out to lunch and talk about one thing about 95 and then have the donors that are paying into her campaign pick up the tab for it. Her campaign finance is very, very interesting to look at. And if you Google the apartment and go look at the pictures of it, it's a high-rise, super fancy apartment. And most of the representatives in Austin, they share apartments. So there will be 2 to 4 different representatives sharing an apartment because they just need a place to keep their stuff and go to sleep. They don't need this super fancy high-rise apartment.
And then sometimes they're there at different times.
Yeah, so. And Bobby said earlier, talking about the school board meetings and city council being on the same day. So do you remember when the Tech Tribune went to TCU and they had Maddie come and speak? It was it was sometime last year, and that's when she said that she couldn't look herself in the face and put an R by her name.
I got word of that, but I didn't.
Okay, well, I went to that, and the host, his name's Evan, was asking Maddie about the school board, and she said that she was so thankful that the meetings were on the same day so that the crazy, that's me and my friends, don't come to city council. So then they opened it up to questions, so I went and asked her a question and let her know I am that crazy that you're talking about, and I have all the facts, and what we're talking about is true, and it's happening. So let her know that first. And then I also said, you know, well, what do we have to do? Because this isn't fair that I have children, but I also live here in Fort Worth, and I'd like to show up at both meetings, and I don't want to have to pick and choose. And so I asked her, and she said that no way Jose is city council changing it. They're keeping their meetings when they are, and that Fort Worth ISD can change it.
Okay. We can do that. Hey, you know what? I truly think, Holly, just Adrian again, check this out. So we got to find a way to get this on the ballot, because – We can do this. We the people have the power to do this. You know, they work for us. You know, we don't work for them. They work for us. We elect them. I think if we can get this power shift, if we can get this to happen, it'll be a great power shift, because we had that city council chambers, those city council chambers full of people. Oh, they will have long nights. So we can get both areas over inundated with the citizens of Fort Worth, but like you say, we're divided. So it's just a handful of us who go. It's just a handful of us who go to the council meetings. Not saying that the ones who don't show up are not concerned about it. It's just a handful of us. But like I told Bob tonight, just think if we're not going. The handful of us. Bob said he probably wouldn't even be having council meetings. I know the Fort Worth ISD has great turnouts. I know they do. I know they have great turnouts.
Oh,
that's great. That
we don't really.
You've seen some
pictures.
Oh, we gotta get.
You've seen pictures whenever it's something that's like really big on the agenda or
a particular candidate.
Candidate is going to come and speak at a board meeting, and then you know supporters will show up. Things like that. But for the most part, there's a handful of us that show up at these board meetings. Important decisions are being made. You know, a $1.7 billion agenda was approved with one bang of the gavel, and it wasn't even discussed. So I've gone to city council before, and they do talk about the issues whole lot more, or what's on the agenda, than Fort Worth ISD does. They don't talk at all. And I watch school board meetings from other areas within Texas.
Hold on.
They don't go watch them. The trustees don't
hold
talk.
Hold on, Holly. No. We're not gonna give the city council too many
props.
Oh,
I don't give them props.
Hey, Holly. No. I know you're not. I'm just saying. They have restricted everything. They have changed everything, and I keep saying, Holly, because of ever since Proposition F, we let them know when we shot down Proposition F, their pay raise. This council, I feel like, started thumbing their noses up at us. They started changing everything. Now when you go, the agenda items. Nobody know what they are. They don't even put them on the screen anymore. They let you know if you signed up to speak for something. They'll let you know. Okay, hey, I speak on this and such. But
The last council meeting I went to, there was nothing. The gallery, the people inside the council chambers, there's nothing that they could read or go by. Well, they give us these handouts now. They give everybody a handout. You get a handout, it's outside the council chamber sitting on the desk, which I'm sure many people just pass by, don't even think nothing of it. But they have, I'm telling you, Proposition F was the turning point for this council. When we shot down on pay raises, they started thumbing their noses up at us and just started changing everything to suit them and business interests.
Well, let me tell you, like you said, Holly, earlier, when you talked to Maddie and she said, no way we're going to change this, that shows you the mentality right there. Her answer should be, let me run it by the people. They don't never ask us anything. They've got in charge, and they do whatever they want to do. And they did modify our speaking at the council agendas. We used to be able to speak on anything on the agenda had 3 minutes. Well, that's been modified to now. You don't speak on the agenda item. You speak first. You only get 3 minutes total. So if you had three things on the agenda item that you wanted to talk about, you're going to have to break that up into 1 minute on each one.
Mm-hmm.
And you say everything at first before they go down to the agenda so you're not in sync with the items when they come up on the you're through. You talk first and you're through.
Yeah, I saw that.
Non-agenda items and agenda. There's two of them. It's broken into two parts. I don't know which one's which, but you get 3 minutes total mm-hmm. on each one of those. And how many issues or how many points there is or how many different items are on those, you got to share that with all of them. And it's kind of like the zoning board. What I never did like about the zoning board, when you went there, you only allotted 7 minutes, but then it was divided between everybody that spoke. And if one person stood up and spoke 4 minutes, that only left 3 minutes, you know, and that person might be talking about cause or off of motion instead of substance. So, and that was crazy too. I never did like the zoning board. It's not, that's not right, but this is not right
well,
either.
I
so they keep taking away from us.
I saw that meeting where you guys were talking about that and it changing. I didn't understand what had happened because I was just looking at the clips after
uh-huh.
your friend Thomas died. And so I went back uh-huh. and was looking at it. Just wanted to see what was going on. The other fun thing that I'd like to tell you about Maddie that happened at the Texas Tribune thing, at the end of it, she came up to meet me. And I did not go up to meet her. I just was standing back talking to a friend, and she came up and she wanted to talk to me about the pay raise. And I told her that it was disrespectful to be asking for that right after you win your seat, and then you're asking the voters for this. At least they did ask the voters, but it was the clause at the end, the forever raises that they were going to give themselves, and that was going to be the last time that we, the people, were going to get to have a say in that, and I didn't like it. And I was standing there in some really cute shoes from Target. I think they were about $10-15. And my kids are in Fort Worth ISD. And Maddie's in her $1,000 Manolo Blahnik with her kids in private school, living in an amazing house with a two-story guest house in the backyard. And she tells me how hard it is for her to live on $29,000 a year. And that if we paid her more, it'd be better. Well, isn't that interesting? She didn't get her pay raise, but she bought another property. So it doesn't sound to me like things are so hard for her whenever my kids are having to go to Fort Worth ISD and not get educated, and she's sending out a mailer telling people that she's endorsing the bond. That doesn't sound like she's one of us, and it really offended me when she said that. If things are so hard for you, Maddie, that you can't afford to live on $29,000 a year, then you shouldn't have run for the office. Or
shouldn't
if
have run
you're
for
having
office.
Trouble,
they know the price.
Why don't you do what all of us have had to do?
I'm sure.
Live on
I'm
less.
Sure her being, I'm sure her being a chief of staff for the former mayor for all those years, she had some
mm-hmm.
kind of, they gave they gave her some kind of incentive. She's had some kind of incentive over the last several years that they made sure she was taken care of. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. So for her to be to act as if, like you say, even Bob, what are you doing?
Did I mess you up there?
No. Yeah.
Am I messing you up? I'm
right
sorry.
There, leave right there.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So we're in the studio messing around. So anyway. For her to act as if, woe is me, woe is me, is like you said,
mm-hmm.
slap in the face. But like I said,
it was insulting.
She worked for, she worked for the former mayor. So I'm pretty sure, and they put her in, I'm telling you, they only put her in the race because they knew Deborah Peoples. I'm sorry. I go on the record and I always say that was Deborah Peoples' race to win, hands down. Now, they put her in there because they knew because of the relationship. And they knew once Bessie put her stamp of approval on her, everybody else that follows suit with Bessie is going to get behind Maddie. But again, when they try to slip that pay raise in on us, oh, I loved it. We that night we were watching. That was
me too.
Everything people voted on, everything else. And I think Carrie was watching from – we were just watching. We were going back and forth, watching. And everybody was debating. No, they ain't made it. Nothing's changed yet. Well, once that Proposition F, once it fell, oh, my. It was joy in the room.
Wasn't it
once
great?
That Proposition F.
It was great.
Once people
– It was great.
Oh, my goodness. And
yeah.
We can – you know what? I think after that, they just went on a tear. They went on a tour. That's why they changed and everything. But like I always say this as well. They can change things, but you can get a whole new council in there, and they can change everything back. So it's nothing final, nothing. But you just said something, and I'm gonna digress. You just said something I did not know. There was a clause in there stating that it's nothing
uh-huh.
we can do if this would have went through.
Yes.
It's nothing we could have did afterwards to change nothing going forward. I said, yeah. Thank
right,
you, voters.
They,
thank you, voters. Thank you, thank you, thank you, people. For just thank you.
It was when I heard about the Forever Clause. That's what I'm calling it. I just am calling it that. What they put in there was that they were tying – I wasn't their district directors. It was like all of the – in 4FIC, it's admins, and I actually don't remember what it's called in city council because that's not 100% my wheelhouse, but it was going to be that their salaries were directly related to city council, and Maddie's salary was going to be directly related to somebody else's salary. So all they had to do was give their friends a raise, and now taxpayers are paying more for
all
of those.
I've got news for you. Their friends are
there.
Already overpaid. Michelle Goop with community engagement gets $170,000 a year, and she's worthless. $170,000,
right, so
and that's what they're based
raise
off
her
of.
Pay, and then when they
you
raise
know,
her pay, then they're going to get another raise. So that's what I'm calling it forever raises, because
I
city
know.
Council was going to be in charge of all of City Hall, and then some of their how City Council was going to get paid was based on some of their quote unquote employees pay. And so when has that ever happened where you've had a job where you're the manager and you give your assistant a raise and that automatically gives you a raise? Like, how crooked is that?
Yeah.
And when I read that
That's
in there,
just about
I was
to say.
Already completely against it. And when I read that in there, I was like, absolutely not. And I posted about it on Facebook. I was pretty vocal about it because it was just so insulting. And if she hadn't have said that to me, it just really kicked it in another notch of, I am so desperate to get my children educated. I have tried homeschool. I've tried private. I've tried public. I've tried charter, tried three different charters. I did the transfers. I have done it all with my three kids. And I can't write a check and send all three of my kids to private school, costing me $75,000 a year. And this woman has the audacity to tell me how hard it is for her. I live on $0 a year because I'm a stay-at-home mom. And she's acting like she can relate that it's so hard. It was insulting, and it absolutely fired me up. And I don't normally speak too terribly much about city council. I try to stay in my lane, but that one I absolutely spoke about, and I was thrilled. I was cheering with you. When that one failed, it was so exciting because it was like we the people did that. We spoke enough about it that we got people educated, and we need to do that on issues. And there was horrible turnout for
that
vote anyway.
Yeah.
But we need to speak more about it. And I've watched the videos where Elizabeth Beck has just been horrific to you, and that should not be allowed. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's illegal to speak to somebody that way and to say that you just have to stand there and listen to what she's going to say. I'm not a fan of hers. She knows it. She spoke to me at city council about the fact that she knew I wasn't happy that she was getting moved over to be my council person. Wasn't happy with Williams either, but super not happy with Beck. But that was just so disrespectful. And all of our elected officials have forgotten that they work for us. And if we don't like what they do, we're going to vote you out. And if you piss us off enough, we're going to make it our mission. And having just one person making it their mission to expose a crooked politician, it hurts you. And so they need to be careful, and they need to remember that they work for us, not the other way around. And changing all of the agenda items, we have the same thing in Fort Worth ISD. We get 3 minutes maximum ever to speak. And if we want to speak on agenda items, they can have 20, 30, 40, I mean, $1.7 billion, 425-page agenda, and we got 3 minutes to speak on it. How can the people's voice be heard when that happens? They're silencing and voting as a team of eight, even though we have nine on the school board. It's called team of eight, and just one bang of the gavel, and they pass it.
Yep.
And I want to challenge all of the Fort Worth ISD school board trustees, discuss these issues. Quit discussing them in executive session where people cannot hear you. Discuss them so that we can hear them. We elect you to do the job and to run the superintendent and to run the admin, not the admins and the superintendent running the school board.
We got to get we have to get these people who've been occupying those, like I told Bob earlier, we have a lot of those school board trustees who've been there for year after year. We got to get those people out of there. We have
absolutely
to get those people out of there.
Absolutely, we have 4 seats coming up for election. So anybody that's listening,
gotta get them out of there.
Toby Jackson, Quentin Phillips,
gotta get
Star, BJ Evans,
Toby,
all up for reelection. Yeah. They all need to go. Toby's been there for 10 years. Our taxes have been raised every single time underneath her. I don't care if they change the rate. You and I know changing the rate doesn't mean your tax bill goes down. And very disappointed in Quentin Phillips and Wallace Bridges. Those are the two areas in Fort Worth ISD with the lowest income residents, and they just raised their taxes on them. And that was one thing that I spoke about. And they raised their taxes on those people. So why a lot of people in the community that Q lives in, they think he's great. Pay attention. He just raised your taxes when we have the greatest inflation that we have ever seen. And Fort Worth ISD has more money than they've ever had in the history of ever.
And the schools
and the kids'
are failing.
Numbers are dropping like flies. And they're
yes.
failing. They're not doing their job.
Yes.
Quit praising those crooks and criminals that are sitting
right.
up there on those seats. Because they're not working for you. When they are taxing you out of their homes, and our homeless population of students in Fort Worth ISD
yes.
was 5
yes.
last year,
yes.
now it's over
it's
30.
Going.
Why are you doing
yes.
that? And by the way, Fort Worth ISD taxpayers are paying $500,000 to transport those homeless kids. What about if they just cut the taxes and then those kids weren't living in a shelter and their families were able to stay in their home?
Goodness.
But you're taxing them out of their home, and it pisses me off, and you just heard me get all worked up
he's
about it because it makes me mad. Sorry, I went off on a tangent because it just bothers me that they are supposed to be representing us.
I want to back up just a little bit here, back to the
yeah.
pay raise thing.
Yeah.
What I go by is a more of a pragmatic approach here. What I believe that the only time we ever look at a pay raise is when we don't have anybody running. We had no shortage of candidates running. And that was one of the reasons why I didn't think a pay raise should ever even been on the ballot, because if you don't have candidates running, I can understand discussing that, okay, or talking about it.
Right.
But
right.
But when you have as many
good
people
point.
That we had running, there is just no – that I think that's a good way to go by, though, before you even think about a pay raise, as long as you got several people, you know, running. You know, like I said, if you can't get candidates that run, and I mean, that's why they put in the pay from zero at the $25,000 for council and $29,000 for the mayor, because they couldn't get people to do the job, and there wasn't no money for free anymore, you know. So, yeah, money did have to come in a little bit, but right now we don't, there's no need, like I said, I think that's a good thing to look at. As long as you got a ton of people running, there is no need to ever add a raise, I don't believe. And really, if we add money, we start losing integrity of the job. We want people to run on the issues that want to do the job. And I think that as far as council and mayor goes, I really think it's an older person's job. Someone that's more or less retired, had a great life, and wants to give back to the city. They got time. You know, they done chased all those dreams and go, and they got a little life left, and they want to serve like you're supposed to. It's when we get young people, and they're still striving, making their way. And I don't want someone like Maddie, who hadn't been down the road, try to lead us down the road when she hadn't been down the road all the way. She's too young. But anyway, but yeah. And
well,
the,
I hear you on that, but I'm not running for city council. If anybody's wondering, I'm not. But why could a stay-at-home mom like me?
Well, that's the end of this call. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But why
go
could
ahead.
A stay-at-home mom
you need to run
like
as a trustee.
Me, you know? Oh, yeah. I would never
run for mayor.
In my district. So I would never want to run in my district. And,
so we're gonna write you in for mayor, Holly. Okay.
No, Holly. You can make a. You will make a. Hey, Holly. I don't know your schedule, but you will make a great trustee.
Oh, well, you're very sweet. Anel Levinos is up for reelection in 2 years. Not sure if I'm still going to be in Fort Worth by then. I need to be closer to my kiddos' school, so we will see.
Sure.
But right now I enjoy being active. I'm not beholden to anybody except for me, myself, and I. And I want to educate people and let them know that you can be involved. And for parents that don't show up to the board meeting in whichever school district you're in, it's one night a month. They have multiple board meetings. They've got probably about 2 to 3 a month, depending on what's on their agenda, what kind of friends they gotta pay so that they can keep their seats. But
which night is the? I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Holly. Which night is the school board on? I mean, which
Tuesday
is it on? It's not 4 Tuesdays a month. It's just one.
It's they have their big one. It's like the last Tuesday of the month. And then they'll have, like, special board meetings that they put in there, depending of, like, when we were looking for our new superintendent. We had some daytime meetings. We had some back-to-back meetings. There was nothing on the agenda. They were just meeting in executive session.
But
it didn't stop. It didn't stop people from showing up to speak to try to beg them to hire a superintendent that the people had actually asked for in the surveys. They didn't do it. They hired who they wanted to run their grips and scams.
Because like Adrian was saying earlier, we were talking about that, we were thinking that if it was on the third Tuesday of the month, council, because they messed everything up and they moved our meeting to 10 a.m., that day you could make both. If you did a 10 a.m. Council meeting and the if it was a third Tuesday, you know, if the school board was on the third, but we want to change our council back all to 7, like they were all at 7 o'clock. All the meetings were, and not at 10 a.m.
Well,
we had that years ago. We fought to get it down. Maddie put it back.
Well, putting
but,
it at 10 o'clock
you know,
in
I'm
the
just
morning.
Curious, Sarah.
That's very out of touch with the people because
it is.
I'm
people
a
can't be there
as a stay at home mom.
Nope.
You know, like there's
where they
very
put the
few
most
stay at home moms left. And most people are working, and they can't come at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's the
and
one they put the most
people that have, they
controversial.
They put the most stuff on the 10 a.m. one.
That one, they use that for the most controversial topics. They put it on the 10 a.m. one. That's what that's for. The ones they don't want people to show up at, they put that on the 10 a.m. So that's you know. But, yeah, it's just terrible. We're getting down to our last 5 minutes here. Holly, on the show here, we're coming down to the end here. It's going to end here in about five minutes. We're getting to the end. I want to thank you for coming on and joining us. I mean, great. We need all the help we can get here and that. And
we do.
Have
we
you
do
been to my website by any chance?
Getting involved. I don't.
Have
I just
made...
have my Facebook. My name's Holly Clemons, H-O-L-L-I-E-P as in Paul, L-E-M-O-N-S. I post everything about politics in Fort Worth ISD publicly because I want people to know. And any issue that I've ever spoke on, I'm going to give the facts. I stay in my lane. I don't speak about issues that I'm not educated on and don't know on. I like to keep my wheelhouse focused on education, but every once in a while, certain things will make me mad, and I'll veer over and get into that and dig into it. I welcome debates as long as everybody's nice and keeps it professional. I don't block. I don't delete. I welcome it. And so anybody that
wants
to get
on.
Hey,
you might. Hey, Holly, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I don't block. We can have a conversation. I don't block individuals. I love a discussion, but I'm sending you a friend request now. Thanks, Taylor.
Awesome. I will accept it. I love the discussions too, and I'm really tired of the D's and the R's trying to keep we the people apart. I am not trying to destroy my neighbor that wants to vote Democrat just because I vote Republican. I don't want to destroy their life. I don't want to be ugly to them. They're my neighbor. They live in my community, and I'm not trying to destroy anybody over some people that I don't even know and voting for them. And I'm seeing that happen in the media on both sides of trying to keep us, we the people, apart and not coming together on the issues by picking certain trigger issues that they want to inject into our lives to try to make us get all up in arms about certain things. And I think if everybody could just take a breath, take a step back, and have a great conversation, we would find out that we are so much more alike than we are different, and that we are very different than the people that have been elected to represent us. And if we, the people, don't knock it off with fighting with each other and come together and start putting forward candidates that are actually going to represent us, we are going to be in this cycle forever. And so I'm always trying to reach across the aisle.
Are you on Nextdoor by any chance? Are you on Nextdoor?
I don't
know. Or do you know what
Nextdoor.com
is?
I have it, but they drive me bananas on Nextdoor. So I get on Nextdoor every once in a while, but I can't
deal
with the people on Nextdoor.
I'm just going to say I have a local voter education group on Nextdoor, and if you like, you can go to my website at fwdistrict5.com and join our email list, which is over 200 big. It's not that big. It's over 200, but I do send out
email
lists for our shows and stuff like that. And also, we're getting down to the last 2 minutes here, and it's going to cut off here. And what I'd like to do is go ahead and thank Taylor Mondick for coming on our show here tonight. And he's running in District 95, and I hope a lot of people got there and vote for him. I know I'm going to vote 5 times for him. And
Tell your friends. We need to flip this. We need to flip this district. It's going to be major.
Anyway.
That area has been controlled by Democrats for over 20 years, and those District 90 and 95 are two poorest districts and highest crime in all of Tarrant County, and they're constantly controlled by horrible Democrats that do not want to do the work for the people. Let's flip those districts.
Okay. Well, we're down to 60 seconds here. It's going to cut off on the internet here. Holly, I can't thank you enough for coming on and spending the evening with us. It's been very educational, very enjoyed. And don't be surprised if you see your name out there for mayor, okay? And we're going to call it a night,
here.
And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, everybody that came on, and Carrie Hines for coming on and joining us, and Adrian here in the studio helped me out a lot here. I need all the help I can get. So, but until next time, we're looking to come back on the air maybe in February and do some of the council and mayor stuff. We're going to take a break. I am taking a break through December and January as far as doing the shows here. So we'll come back and do that in February and cover the council race and mayor race, and hopefully we can get Holly back on then and help us out with some of this stuff. So, Holly, have a good night. I can't thank coming on, and I can't thank Adrian enough for being here and that. So, okay.
All right, good night.
All right, good night. All right, bye-bye.